everyone. Welcome to episode 46. Today I have a special surprise because I'm interviewing my brother, Bobby Williamson. Thank you, Bobby.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here.
Bobby is my, well, I have two older brothers. He's the middle child.
I'm the youngest oldest brother.
Yeah. 8 years older than me, but you could never tell because he's like, he never gets old.
Oh, that's not true at all.
It runs in our family, though.
Hey, let me, I'm getting some texts and stuff. Do you mind if I just
turn off go.
Notifications real quick? Sorry.
Yeah.
I always forget. Okay.
All right. So, well, welcome to Soul Quest. On this podcast, we like to learn about people's journeys and just learn about how different people have different experiences and lessons and challenges and triumphs in life. So tell us, well, I know a little bit about where you grew up and how, what it was like, what your experience was.
Yeah. It feels kind of funny telling you stuff that you already know, but yeah. So, you know, we all came from San Antonio. I was born in 1968 and lived out there. It seemed like a whole lifetime out there. But looking back on it, it was only 9 years of my life, but I've got so many memories out there. I was on a road called Nantucket. It was a real nice little neighborhood that you walk down the street and you go right to the elementary school. And it was just a lot of fun times and good memories. And it's where I remember my first cat, our first couple of dogs that I remember.
Did the cat come with us to Houston?
No, he never made it to Houston. Well, you may, I don't know if you remember the name. I've told you his name was Powder Puff.
Powder Puff.
It was a orange tabby. And that's kind of ironic because later on, the next cat we ended up with was another orange tabby that you found.
Yeah. Oh, I found him? I don't remember finding him.
Yeah, I thought you found him. Well, maybe you, I don't know. That's the story I thought. But I just remember that he was, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, but you're okay. Frozen.
Something goofed up here.
But I hear you. Oh, there you go.
Okay. So, yeah, I remember that cat was out in our grandparents, the yard next to our grandparents, like squealing or something. I thought you found it.
Oh, yeah. And that house that was always abandoned, like had a like a fountain.
About some goldfish in the background.
Yeah, nobody was ever there. That was so cool.
Yeah. I thought the story was that you found it. Maybe we just heard it and then you said, oh, we got to keep it. So we ended up keeping it.
Yeah. Cause I was too little. I mean, I was 1.5 or like 18 months when we moved Houston.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it goes to show you that as time goes on, you kind of remember things differently.
I know we all have different memories and who knows what is real.
They just kind of morph into something else over time.
I know.
It's close enough, I guess.
Interesting.
But so anyway,
maybe it was Tigger. I mean, Tiger. Tigger that I found back there.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Powder Puff. Okay, sorry. Yeah,
no.
Tigger. I kind of do remember that. No. I remember finding a kitten.
Yeah. I thought you said there was a kitten squealing next door and he was all by himself. And we happened to be visiting that weekend, so we took him back to Houston with us, and he lived with us for another 11 years.
I do kind of remember that now. Wow, but I didn't ever think of that. I was the one that found. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so, I guess when you were born, I guess we ran out of rooms in the house, because me and Johnny were already sharing. Oh, no, me and Johnny were sharing a room, and then you took a room. Things were getting a bit crowded. I don't know if that's why we moved to Houston, but we needed a bigger house. And I guess dad needed a better job.
Yeah.
so we made the trek down I-10. And that was in 1978. And then that whole next era feels like a whole lifetime again. I was only in that house for like 13 years in Houston. Mm-hmm. And just there's so many memories because so many important times because I went from my adolescence into my teenage years and then to a young man all in that same house, you know?
Yeah. So tell us about middle school because I remember there was an incident in middle school.
Oh, you mean when the guy needed me?
Yeah. Cause I remember you on the couch and mom was so scared for me to go to Hoffman.
Okay, yeah. So there was a kid at school that used to pick on me for my lunch money all the time, and I told my dad about it, and he's like, "You got to stand up to this guy, you know." I was like, "Okay, I got to be tough, you know." So I told the guy, "There's no way I'm giving you my lunch money anymore." And as I turned around to leave, he grabbed me by the waist and slammed me as hard as he could with his knee in the back of my spine. And I couldn't even sit down. We were having like a video thing in athletics that day, and the lights were out and everything. I was just in so much pain. I just kind of touched the coach on the shoulder and said, "I just can't sit down. I'm in so much pain right now." And he didn't even know what happened to me. So he sent me to the clinic. Actually, he told me just to lay down, which made me feel better. And then I got home, and I don't remember this, but my mom said that I was on the couch for like 2 weeks, and I was black and blue back there. Anyway, so when they did when they took some x-rays of me and whatnot, they didn't see anything wrong. So it was all soft tissue, but soft tissue is a problem too if it doesn't heal right. And, I don't know if I can really blame it on the injury, but I ended up with a curve in my low back years later. I didn't notice until years later. But I kind of tend to think that the healing of that and me kind of nurturing it and kind of nursing it in a certain way and whatnot kind of made me grow a different way, I think.
Could be,
I
yeah.
don't know for sure.
Wow. So what happened with that kid? Like after that, did he bother you anymore?
So, the principal got wind of it and told the kid that he needed to give all my money back. He didn't give all my money back. It was like 25 or 30 cents or something like that. But I took it as a good notion, And I just ran with it. But later on, I heard that those kids were actually tortured by his dad, by their dad. I think he was acting out in the same kind of way, There was like stories of them being strapped to a tree and whipped and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, so I can't really point to him and say it was his fault. It's just what he was learning from his father. So,
Exactly, and that's what happens in most cases of bullying like that. They learn it from someone at home.
yep. Unfortunately, I
Wow.
was the victim. But I mean, I'm fine. I'm not like crippled or anything. It's just that it's just the curve in the low back kind of creates a few problems here and there. It's no big deal. I lived through it.
Wow. So what, and then, so how would you say overall your middle school experience was? Because I loved middle school.
Oh, it was fine, really. I mean, starting to like girls and chasing girls and stuff like that. And especially when that girl Krista Allen was down the street, because when I was in 8th grade, she was in 6th grade, and
Oh,
I
really?
saw
Oh,
her, I
wow.
actually saw her more at Hoffman, the middle school, than I did on our street. So that was fun, and I had a big crush on her.
Okay, and so for people that don't know, Krista Allen was on Days of Our Lives
Yeah, she was in movies
later.
like Liar Liar and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, she was an actress. She ended up being
She
an
still
actress.
is. Yeah, she still is an actress. She's in, she was on Days of Our Lives, but now I think there's another one called, I don't know which one it is, like As the World Turns or something like that. She's in a new one now. Yeah, so she's still rolling
Oh,
along.
wow. I don't know anything about soap operas anymore.
Yeah, it was cool because I reached out on her webpage years and years ago. She had like a little guest form thing. And I wanted to message her and say, "Hey, remember me?" Of course, she would remember me. But I was like, "Hey, it's Bobby Williamson from Bent Bow," but I couldn't get the private message thing. I guess it was disengaged, so people wouldn't harass her. But I messaged her on the forum just like as a guest, and she happened to read it that day. She said she only checks it like once a month, but she happened to check it that day and she saw that I was there, and she sent me a private message. And she's like, "Hey, what's going on? I'm glad I checked it that day." And I was like, "Oh, cool." So she said, "Send me a bunch of pictures that you like, and I'll sign them and send them back to you." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." So I found a bunch of pictures that I liked and printed them out in color and stuff. And I found one of her and her kid together. I sent that, and she had him sign it, which was kind of cool. And
Oh, that's so sweet.
yeah, I can't remember his name. I want to say like Bo or something. I'm not sure, but, or Jacob maybe. Anyways, I was hoping that he would become like famous, but I haven't seen him anywhere. But I'm glad that he signed it. That was cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, middle school was fun. I mean, that's when I started. Was it middle school? Yeah, I think that's when I first started messing around with drums, eighth grade or something like that.
Okay. And so what brought you to drums? I mean, what did somebody have?
Well, I met Cole down the street, Cole Stanfield, around the corner. And he was kind of messing around with guitar and singing a little bit. And I'd always like playing beats with my hands and stuff like that. And their whole house over there just kind of seemed musical because Cole was into it. And I guess his dad or mom weren't really musical, but for some reason Cole was into the music thing. And so we just started, how every band starts when you're young. You're just like, hey, you play drums, I'll play this. And so will sing or whatever, So it just was natural for me to follow right into the footsteps of being a drummer. And Cole was playing guitar, and we played all the Jimi Hendrix stuff, Black Sabbath stuff. Before you know it, we had a band. And then, when I got into high school, I met Stuart McKay and Rudy Pineda. And we all liked the same bands and stuff. So we just started hooking up and going to each other's houses and jamming. And it turned into my first band, which was Espionage.
That's so early. So you met Cole in eighth grade?
I might have been even younger. I'm trying to think. I met him in 1982, so that would have put me around seventh grade, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you started, and so in ninth grade, do you feel like it was ninth grade when the band started?
Yeah, ninth or tenth. We were messing around with Stuart and Rudy would come by and we'd jam and whatnot, but When you're that young, I mean, you don't have a license yet. Like, you're borrowing mom's car and whatnot. So it's kind of hard to get back and forth. But I think once we get into 10th grade is when we started the band where I could actually drive and they could drive. And then by the time I was in 11th, 12th grade,
yeah,
it was full on. We were playing gigs and shows at night and all kinds of stuff.
Wow, that's so fun. Wow. And so what I was seeing from my view was you guys just practicing in Cole's little garage, or what was that?
Yeah, it was a garage that they had turned into, I guess it was his mom was doing clay sculpting and artwork. So she turned it into her little studio. And then they had to build a whole nother building that added onto the house, another garage. And the top of that had a loft that had frames and stuff for his mom to.
Yeah, I remember you had it soundproof.
So. Yeah, well, it was soundproof. Well,
you guys couldn't hear. You guys could not hear. Because was Sean in there? Sean Berg?
Sean Berg? No, he wasn't in the band. Oh, we had Jeff Storrs. Oh, okay. Pineda,
well, I just remember Sherry Berg and I would go while you guys were practicing and
Well, actually, Sean played guitar, so sometimes I'd jam with Sean.
That's probably okay.
Yeah.
Well, we would go outside and pull that little room and make noises and stuff and howl and
bang on the doors
while stuff. You guys were playing, but you never noticed.
Never noticed anything. Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, I guess.
It was fun. And we stole Cole's golf cart.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yes,
oh, my God.
We actually backed up into his house. I think we made a little dent in his house. Sorry, Cole.
Oh, no. Was it the, I think it was blue?
I don't remember. I just remember we got on it. We were probably in middle school, sixth grade by then.
Wow.
And we got on the golf cart. And I remember we were backing it up and it kind of went into the house and made a little scrat or dent a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. We tore that
place.
Well,
you guys are practicing.
Don't worry. We did a heck of a lot more damage to that house than you did. So. It tore that house down. I think you noticed that already.
Yeah.
The house is gone now. So.
Yeah. A lot of those houses in Inwood Forest are gone and on that side.
Yep.
But so what else have, what else, what other memories do you have in Inwood Forest and Bent Bow?
Oh, wow. Well, it's funny you say stealing a golf cart. I borrowed the golf cart next door one night when I was taking care of their house. Remember Mike and...
Oh, yeah. They were golfers.
What's her name? Mike and...
Lori.
Lori Brown, yeah. They trusted me to take care of their house and feed their dog and stuff like that while they were gone. And we decided to go ahead and take that golf cart out in the middle of the night.
Oh my God.
Terrible, terrible. We took that golf cart out in the middle of the night and we took it on the golf course. Of course, we were drinking. I don't think we were old enough to drink yet. Like, we were probably like, you know, 18, 19 or something like that, but maybe even 17. I don't know. But we took that thing out and we were just going crazy with that thing. We were running over to little pine trees, like little skinny ones that were just planted recently and stuff. And at one point, I was on the back of it and somebody turned so fast that the whole thing fell over sideways, which is really dangerous, you know?
Oh my God.
Nobody got trapped underneath it. I flew off the back and then, like, so after it was all said and done, brought it back home. And then the next morning I looked at it and there was like chunks of mud stuck in cracks and everything because the force of landing on the ground and then like those scratches on the front of it from hitting pine trees. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, I hope he doesn't notice, you know, but when you're young, you're so stupid. Of course they're going to notice. When they got home from their vacation, I noticed that Mike was out there. He had the thing out in the driveway. He was washing it off. And I crawled in that little attic space in my room, uh-huh. Crawled all the way over to where there's like a vent. You can see through it to their yard. And I was looking uh-huh. down and I saw him looking at his golf cart, inspecting it and washing it. But he never said anything to our parents. I thought Mike was pretty cool. He was always pretty cool about stuff. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't believe I did that. I felt bad about that. And plus, he gave me $20 for getting like 4 A's and 2 B's on my credit card, my report card.
Wow.
When I was in 12th grade, he happened to be over at our house for some reason. And our mom's like, look at Bobby's credit card. I keep saying that. Look at Bobby's report card, 4 A's and 2 B's. You know, it's like, it wasn't even straight A's or nothing. And Mike was all proud of me and he gave me $20. You know?
Wow.
And here I am tearing up his golf cart.
Oh my God.
It's just not right, is it?
Wow. I didn't know this about him. I have different views of him, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
he had a different cool, perception.
Interactions I had with him. Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So overall, do you think high school was, it sounds like fun, good
experience? Oh, high school was, yeah, good memories. As I was a young kid, I was pretty shy. And then like when I got into this whole band thing, I felt like I belonged to something. I started to open up and be more confident, you know?
Yeah.
And the school system never was built to like help people gain confidence, I don't think.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
When you get into your little groups and your little cliques and you feel like you belong to something.
Yeah.
Started feeling more confident, I got my first girlfriend in high school and then my second girlfriend in high school. And then, you know, you just feel like life is going good for you, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of broke me out of my little shy shell that I used to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, high school was good memories too, but you know, you've always got your good and bad.
Yeah.
But I always cherish those times for sure. Yeah. Miss them a lot.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think middle school were my best memory. Oh my gosh, I remember in middle school, I would beg you to, this is a memory of you. Tanya and I would beg you to pick us up. Do you remember that? Like, can you pick us up from school? And you'd
yeah,
pick
I
us up
remember
in like
something like that. Yeah.
Your yellow Camaro or something like
Firebird. Yeah.
Firebird. Okay. You pick us up and then we were like, can you go drive? You know, there are these boys that live nearby that we wanted you to drive us by their house. I'm not going to say their name because guys are listening, but you would drive us by. He lived in a cul-de-sac and you turned on a song really loud. I think it was Wild Thing. It was either Wild Thing or Funky Cole Medina. One of those songs you turned on really loud while we were driving by his house. And we were like, shut up. Like, we're like, stop.
Did I do that on purpose to try to get their
attention? Yes, you did that on purpose.
That sounds like something Johnny would do.
I know it does, but I don't remember him ever picking me up. He was doing all kinds of different stuff. But I remember Tanya and I would ask either you or Shauna to pick us up. And we would be so excited. Can you drive us by their house?
Yeah.
And we did that one day. And I don't think we ever asked you again.
Oh, maybe that's why I did it. Hey, you remember when Johnny used to shoot us with the BB gun?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And he thought it was so funny. Like he'd be at the window with that gun, you know, like he's a sniper or something. All of a sudden you'd feel something sting. You'd turn around and he's shooting at you.
I remember us running down the street, hiding in the bushes and stuff. And he was like coming after us. I remember running down Bent Bow, like hiding behind the bushes. I was a little scared.
Yeah. If that BB hit you in the eye, man, that wouldn't be good at all.
That was crazy. But I remember you With talking about BB guns, you took my Play-Doh and went out to the backyard. You were going to use it to shoot through it or something. And I was so upset and I started crying. Do you remember this? And I was banging on the
No.
window and I broke the window.
Oh, I remember you breaking a
I
window.
have a
Oh,
scar. I have a
I do
scar from
remember,
it.
like you getting mad at me and breaking a window. Wow, but I didn't know it was because of that. You still have a scar?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I
Are you
was like,
beating
yeah.
on
And it
Johnny's
broke.
window?
Huh? No, it was
Was
a
it
window
Johnny?
that went to the backyard because you went out with the plate. I mean,
Okay.
I broke two windows. One was, and both of them were because of you. One was because you took my Play-Doh and I didn't want you to. And I was like, and I was crying so bad. And one was, it was ninth grade, I think. And you were supposed to, mom and dad were out of town and you were supposed to be home to watch me. I went to sleep at my friend Sharada's house and they brought me home late at night. And you were supposed to be home to watch me. I
Yeah.
knocked on the door and you didn't answer. Nobody was there. It was dark. And I didn't want to go back to their house. I wanted to stay home. So I just told them, oh, it's okay. I'm going to go through the back door. So I went through the back and the back door was locked. And usually it's
What?
open. So
No, that doesn't sound like me. I was always responsible.
I know. That's why I'm like, I can't believe you did that. So I broke the window, mom and dad's bathroom window, and I crawled through it.
Don't remember any of that. Wow.
Because you weren't there, you probably didn't think it was such a big deal. Maybe I think it's because you didn't know or something. I mean, back then we didn't have cell phones, so
Yeah, it's hard to
I think
convince
you
me. I
didn't
might have been a little
know.
later. I might have stepped out for a second or something.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I was like, I'm staying here. I'm not going back to anybody else's house. So I just broke the window and I had to tell mom and dad. And I was like, well, nobody was home. I couldn't get in.
Yeah, sorry about
Funny,
that.
funny, funny. So then what happened with espionage after high school?
Yeah, we played that summer, I think, a few gigs, and then actually, the story on how that whole ended with the whole thing ended with me playing drums and whatnot is somebody in high school. I was dropping some people off on Antoine Drive. Somebody ran into the back of me, and I didn't realize it till later, but it kind of messed up my neck. So I was going to the chiropractor for a while. I was still playing drums, no big deal. But then I started having a lot of pain. It was going into my arms. And I started trying to adjust myself because it always felt better whenever the chiropractor did it. So I was trying to do it myself. Long story short, I had to quit playing drums because the pain into my arms was radiating and it was just too painful. So I had to, it was really gut-wrenching. It just broke my heart because I had to leave this band. And sometimes I'd walk down the street and I'd hear them rehearsing with their new drummer, you know. I was like, oh, this is terrible, you know. It's just, yeah, that really broke my heart and it kind of sent me into a downspin. For a few years after that, and it wasn't just because of the band thing, it was just because I was in pain all the time. It was every day was a struggle. And but to make this a shorter story, I would say like a decade and a half later, I decided to stop adjusting my own neck, and I got a lot better after that. If I had just done that like way earlier, I probably would have been pretty good to go, you know.
So you think
Eventually, I
adjusting it
started.
was keeping it inflamed or something?
Yeah, just messing with it all the time, probably grinding on the wrong nerves and stuff like that. And I think it was sending the wrong messages to my arms and stuff like that. But I just backed off on doing that, you know?
That happened to me when I was going to a chiropractor that was a little more harder on making sure that you're
Rough.
adjusted, you know. And then
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I went to one that wasn't as like pushy with it, as forceful, and I started feeling better,
Oh,
actually.
wow. Yeah. Yeah, the chiropractor I was seeing at that early time was, he told me that chiropractors that use less force actually are better chiropractors because they know how to get the same thing done without pushing too hard. So,
Yeah, just kind of the ones that listen to your body and don't force it too much.
yeah, but I don't want to blame mine on a chiropractor. I'm not saying you were doing it, but it was just me because I was like, I got to get some relief. I got to. But I just noticed that whenever I just leave it alone, I end up a lot better. And so I wish I had discovered that like 10 years earlier. But
Yeah, well, lesson learned there.
no, I started enjoying life once I figured that out. I was like, this is cool, man. Then I got back into another band we created, Outworld, when I started playing keyboards. That
And
whole thing lasted for.
who was in that band?
was back in like 1997 when I kind of got into the band. It was Rusty Cooley on guitar. He was kind of a rising star on guitar at the time, so it was real interesting to join that band. And my friend Darren Davis and a bassist named Brent Marches. And it was just instrumental at first. And then eventually we brought on Kelly Sundown Carpenter, who's now moved over to Europe and is doing great things in bands over there. But we had a good stint in Outworld for a few years.
And
Got
you
a lot of
started
good
playing
memories.
tape keyboard and
Yeah, I was playing keyboards because when the drums hurt too, they hurt. When I played drums, my arms hurt too much. So I wanted to play something. I had to do something musical. So that's when I picked up the keyboards. That was in the early 90s. Maybe 89, 90 or something like that. But it wasn't until 1997 I actually started putting it to use in a band. And then I was forced to practice a lot because I had to keep up with Rusty Cooley. So I got a little bit better, and then I started writing a little bit of some of the song material. And then when Outworld came to a close, in 2008, that's when I started writing a few songs just on my own. And then I picked up those guys, picked up some interest in the guys from the UK,
Oh,
Johnny
yeah.
Tatum on vocals, Reese Fullwood on guitar. We had a drummer at the time. He actually passed away. His name was Adam Sagan. He passed away, but we ended up with another drummer, Kevin Bartlett, that was from the UK as well. And we had the bass player was from Outworld at first, Sean Cassick. He ended up on a couple of the songs on the Emeria record, but we ended up with Derek Blakely from Dallas. And to this day, that band is still going. But I left them in 2014 because another body pain showed up, which was my hip pain. It was just hard to focus. And but anyway, so we did some good things in your area too. We went on a cruise,
Wow.
and
Yeah, I remember that.
yeah, that was like one of the funnest things I've ever done. Well, it was actually my first cruise I've ever been on, but it was also like I would say the biggest gig I'd ever played on. I was just like terrified to get up on that stage because I know you don't know who that. Well, you probably heard of Dream Theater through me, but the drummer from Dream Theater, he's the one that put this whole thing together. It was called Progressive Nation at Sea, and they needed like five more bands because they had room, I guess, for five more bands and some more people on this cruise. And what happened was they had this contest, and like 300 bands submitted their video, and they were going to pick just five of us. And we found out that we were the first one to be picked, and it didn't surprise us that much. I mean, we were, happy about it and whatnot, but I mean, we kind of sounded like his former band, Dream Theater. So then later on, we found out that he wanted to use our singer for some of the events that were going on that weekend or that whole cruise. He never did use him, but he said he mentioned to us that he actually thought about using our singer for some of the Dream Theater stuff that they were doing. But the thing that terrified me was that he wasn't able to see our show on that cruise, but he sent his wife because he said he sent his wife because he wanted to see our performance. He wanted her to report back on the performance. And unfortunately, I heard about that ahead of time and I was just like terrified. I was just like a stick in the mud on the stage, And I only messed up one time. But other than that, I think it was a decent show. So it was fun.
Wow, what an experience.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I was trying to do the math here. So that was. I was like 45. Yeah, 45.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a lot of friends with this, and the singer brought his parents with him and his girlfriend at the time. They had a good time. So anyway, probably should be wrapping this up, but I'll end it with this: is that being in all the bands all the times, I've had so many memories and good times, and it just feels like my life has become stagnant recently. Just kind of doing the same thing every day, week to week. And time is just passing by so fast. I think it's because I'm doing the same thing every day, the same thing every week, the same thing every month. I'm like, I gotta like change things up a little bit. So I'm kind of stirring around and getting fidgety right now, and talking to several people. It looks like I might be starting something here soon again.
Cool.
But I'm not going to make any official announcement right now. But
okay. All right. Well, that's exciting. That's cool. Yeah. I know you've been doing a lot of stuff with your house lately. And Bobby, it's just like I always tell people about your raccoons. And
Yeah. You know, I was going to mention that I counted the dollars on how much I spend every month on the wild animals and, you know, the domestic animals.
Yeah.
It's over $200 a month.
Oh my gosh. Wow. $200 like, feeding raccoons and cats and possums and whatever else comes.
Just squirrels and birds. And yeah. I even saw there's a fox that shows up every night and cleans up all the cat food on the front porch.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so awesome.
But it's fun. It's something that gives me joy, you know, like just the simple thing of throwing a nut and a squirrel grabs it. He's like all excited about it. He runs off with it in his mouth. I'm like, that's cool, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's always nice being there and watching all that wildlife. I mean, you get like a front row view to wildlife in your backyard. Like they come to you. You don't have to like, you know, sit around and wait.
Yeah. It's like that movie Field of Dreams when the guy said, build it and they will come.
Yeah.
Mine is just like put the food out there and they will come for sure.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I mean, this is noteworthy. A lot of people think that's a nuisance, you know, but you look at it as, wow, this is so like awesome, like a great experience.
Yeah.
Watch the animals.
Yeah. It's expensive, but I look at it as a hobby, just like, you know, being a musician is a hobby unless you're selling millions of albums, you know. It's just a hobby and it's an expensive hobby, but it's something that you enjoy doing in life. That's why we're here, right?
We want to
have experiences. I mean,
animals
and things.
Are here to teach us too. And so have you experienced, because this is what, you know, we hear complaints about from other people, that raccoons will do so much damage, or the armadillos or whatever do so much damage to your land or your house. Has that ever happened?
Well, the armadillos do. The raccoons don't do damage, no.
Okay. The armadillos like just like digging?
They're just digging around because I think my yard has a lot of worms in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the armadillos dig in it and just tear stuff up. It's kind of frustrating, but, you know, I'm not going to like – I'd like to relocate them. I'm not going to like shoot them or anything. But I noticed that whenever I spray a little poison for the bugs, I noticed they won't dig in that area for a while. So that might be the trick. Because there's a lot of fleas that show up at times, and I don't want to get my little cats. That's why I spray. But yeah, lots of birds. I had a vulture on my mailbox one time. I got a video of it.
Oh, cool.
And a close up picture. He didn't fly off. I just pulled into the driveway and he was just sitting there looking at me.
What? He's like, I heard his house.
There's kind of a culture around here where all these animals somewhat like trust me now.
Yeah.
They know I'm not a danger.
Yeah. They know. They've gotten the memo to go to your house.
Yes, they all got the memo.
That's so cool. So what would you say is like one big lesson that you've learned in life so far?
I would say like, I mentioned it earlier. It's like, keep yourself busy. Try to learn something new because life just passes by so fast that you look back in the rearview mirror and you're like, man, I can't believe how fast life is passing me by. And I should have been doing this. I should have been doing that. I just think it's try to do something unique, not every day, because that's hard to do, right?
Yeah.
Like on a weekly basis, try to do something, maybe on a monthly basis, go to on vacation that you've some kind of place you've never dreamed of going before, or take on a new hobby or learn something new. Right now I'm in the middle of real estate classes.
Cool.
Try to learn that kind of stuff and maybe get my license. I'm not sure yet, but and then like, you know, like I said, like get back into the music thing again. It just brings a lot of good memories and good times. And it's fun, you know?
Yeah.
So I think just to do something kind of unique-ish.
Yeah,
get yourself busy, get yourself involved with stuff, give yourself something to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And just like getting out of the monotony of every day and out of your comfort zone really livens up life, Yeah.
Yeah,
Totally.
exactly.
All right. Any last word? Anything you want to share before we say goodbye? Thank you for sharing all this.
I don't know. I guess that's about it. I'm pretty much talked out. I just hope everybody enjoys their day and enjoys their week and do something fun today.
All right. Thanks, Bobby.
All right. Take care.